All right, guys, welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse. And we've got a monkey wrench to throw in the gears today. In studio is...
What?
Yeah. Say hello.
Chud X coming to you in studio at the Adam Homestead.
Yeah.
At the Deborah Gets Homestead.
Chud just pulled in 10 minutes ago, and we are podcasting live from the studio. So how's the trip down?
Boring.
Yeah.
It was okay. I like driving. I love a good road trip, but it's I-5 almost all the way.
Yeah.
And about an hour long traffic jam that I went through as well. It's grace, guys. All of that together just makes for a pretty boring ride.
Yeah. Driving through Seattle's one thing that I really, really dislike, and I'm really happy I don't live anywhere close to there.
Plus, I wasn't that thrilled with my music choice.
Yeah. Who'd you pick?
I got a really, I think, thoughtful birthday gift from someone, but it kind of didn't pan out the way I think they thought it would. It's a space rock six-disc compilation called an Interstellar's Traveler's Guide, or an Interstellar Traveler's Guide.
And who's it by?
It's six discs. Each song is by a different band.
Mm.
Half a dozen, well, about a dozen bands that I know from mostly from the 70s. And I was like, oh, cool. With all these, this should be pretty good. But it is the shittiest tracks from each of those well-known bands.
Yeah.
And then like another 70 bands that I've never heard.
Yeah.
Some of them were okay. But man, I was starting to use that fast forward button a lot.
A lot of prog rock stuff.
Yeah, prog rock, basically. Spacey, trippy prog rock.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of space or prog rock. Yeah, so
it is both. Prog rock is fake and gay.
Yeah.
And so is space.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would absolutely hate this thing.
Yeah, what are they singing? What's a lot of the subject matter?
It's all space.
Yeah.
Every song that seems to have lyrics is about space. And even those which aren't have titles that indicate space travel of some sort or another.
Why do you think these prog rock bands in the 70s were so enamored by
space?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know. I don't think it was just prog rock. I think they took it to the like most logical conclusions with like how to make that music, you know, maybe starting with Pink Floyd type stuff, which Pink Floyd, of course, played live for the moon landing in the UK. Did you know that?
I knew they played at the pyramids before.
Yeah, they played when you know, that one small step for man, one giant leap for all of mankind.
Yeah.
While that was going on, if you were watching it in the UK, Pink Floyd was in studio playing live spacey rock.
Yeah.
To that. And I think that the whole concept of space, especially if you can look at it from the fake and gay point of view, it's super trippy. Like you got to be stoned to really have your mind blown by space. And I think that a lot of those more stony prog rockers,
yeah,
really, really dug the idea. And in particularly, you have Hawkwind, who I've mentioned on this podcast
before. Yeah, Lemmy's band pre-Motorhead.
Yeah, Lemmy was in the band for about four albums in the 70s. But Michael Moorcock is a science fiction writer. I've never read any of his stuff. He was pretty prolific throughout the 60s. He would be right in there with some of those people that you might point to be like, oh, space was all developed by these science fiction writers. And then NASA came out and told us it's all real. He was one of them, and he wrote all of Hawkwind's lyrics for him. And he did like poetry in between their songs when they would play live and stuff. And all of it is about the infinite vastness of space and how tiny we are.
Yeah.
And I think that when those people were high on LSD and whatever other psychedelic drugs, and they would hear those things, their minds were just fucking blown. And I think between people like Michael Moorcock being around, and then also smart people, like college-y people who were going to college, like telling them, yeah, man, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the alternative would be. Instead of, you know, singing about love and life and stuff, let's sing about this really trippy, real idea. Unlike the fake love that's just an emotion, space is really real. Let's sing about that.
Yeah.
You know, there's room for it to all be a psyop, as far as I'm concerned, especially in that sense. Put the smart people in with the stoned people, and they're going to go places.
Yeah. Did you ever get tricked into reading any of those libertarian sci-fi novels?
No, I'm aware of them.
A ton of them.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you think about it, because the only way that you can get like libertarianism to work in reality is in a fake sci-fi novel.
It's in gay and fake space.
Yeah. We also have books like Space Relations. Are you familiar with that one?
What's that?
Space Relations is the sci-fi book that was written by Attorney General Bill Barr's father,
okay,
who was the headmaster of the Dalton School and responsible for hiring Jeffrey Epstein as a math teacher,
okay,
who was a 20-year-old college dropout.
A book called Space Relations?
Right, Space Relations, which is coincidentally about intergalactic child sex trafficking.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that hired Jeffrey Epstein as a 20-year-old college dropout to be a math teacher at the most prestigious prep school.
I guess I have heard that before. I knew the Bill Barr connection there, but I didn't realize it was called Space Relations. Is it space?
Yes,
it's sci-fi. Like outer space.
Yeah, they're like intergalactic sex traffickers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, the guy who makes Martyr Maid wrote it. Or read it.
Read it.
Yeah. He read it for, he did like a 3-part Epstein series and he like struggled through.
Oh, I've seen that that's there. Yeah. Okay. So he goes deep on that book.
Yeah, that's a really good 3-part series. If you ever get into that, it gets into Epstein and makes a real strong case for Pizzagate being real, and gets into like all the stuff that happened in like Belgium. Like they had some real gnarly stuff in their government, and they like brought the whole thing. You never hear about it. They brought the whole government down.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I don't, had 300,000 people protesting at their capital. But you don't hear about that one.
Yeah, that one they don't want us to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then L. Ron Hubbard, prolific sci-fi novelist.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's so, well, you know, but at the same time, I can rip on sci-fi novelists. There's also like Philip K. Dick.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know. He introduced me to some concepts that like kind of fucked with my head in a positive way. Things that like still intrigue me to today, like simulation theory type things. You know, I don't know. I'm hesitant to dog on all of it, even though I do think so much of it is such bullshit.
Yeah. I've never got that much into Philip K. Dick. Of course, I've seen Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen A Scanner Darkly, but never read any of his stuff. I have some things on Audible that I need to listen to. I think one's called The Penultimate Truth.
Yeah.
Which is about like a virus and a group of people who are forced to live underground and like a segregation of society. So
yeah,
I want to get into that.
It's probably interesting. I've read less of sci-fi in general, including Philip K. Dick, than I've heard about. As someone I used to make music with, that we spent a lot of time together, he considered himself to be a sci-fi writer, probably still does, probably has a whole wall filled with rejection letters.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still doing that. He used to hang every one of them on his wall. But he, less writing, more, he read like all of that stuff. So he had, so like when I came to him and I was talking about Hawkwind and Michael Moorcock came up, it's like, oh, I've read 7 of his books, you know?
Yeah.
And anytime stuff like that would come up, he would be well read in it and, you know, just kind of give me the cliff notes.
Yeah, so he was in Hawkwind, and he was also an author.
Yeah, that Michael Moorcock guy was.
Yeah.
But, you know, fake and gay, he just wanted more cock. And I'm sure that's why his name was that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was awesome.
Yeah.
It was quiet. It was just the four of us plus Lanny's parents.
Cool.
So six total.
Your place or their place?
Our place, which
Cool.
was just fine by me.
Yeah.
Tons of leftovers. We ate the meal a second time in a row.
Yeah.
How about yours? You had people here, right?
Yeah, mine was fantastic. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and it was great. My sister lives in the Bay Area, so I hadn't seen her since Thanksgiving of 2018. And she has
Wow.
two kids, so I hadn't seen them since then.
So how
And
old are the kids now?
I think 11 and 12 or 11 and
Okay.
13.
Cool.
And yeah, they live in, they live in the suburbs south of San Francisco. And they came up, and kids loved it. Her son, who's 11, was just so stoked to be here and see the animals. And I let him drive the tractor. I let him drive the little lawn, riding lawnmower. And yeah, he was having a great time. I don't think he's ever been in anything quite like this.
Yeah, especially where people let him get his hands dirty and
Yeah.
stuff. I'm gonna guess that based on where you describe their living, they don't spend a lot of time outside.
Well, they live in Pacifica, California, which is a beach town. So I think they
Okay.
get to go to the beach a
So
lot and
they're
stuff like
outside,
that.
but
Yeah, they're not in a rural
they're not
area.
working when they're outside.
No, not at all. And
Yeah.
yeah, so he had a great time, and I got to be like the cool uncle who has like lets him drive a lawnmower, and
Yeah.
I just sat the brush hogs on the back, so I just stood on the back and let him drive it all the way up the road to the other pasture. And
Dude, that's awesome. Giving kids the ability to do things like that, I think, is so key.
yeah.
Like in their development, just being able to develop confidence and stuff like that. It's so important that they have an opportunity to be exposed to things like that. That's
Yeah.
awesome that you're there for that.
So yeah, they came over on Wednesday, and they were about to leave. My sister grew up in Portland, so they were staying in Portland and like seeing some of her old friends, and they were like gonna leave and go back to Portland. And I heard him talking, my nephew talking to my sister, being like, "I don't want to leave." And I go, "Hey, talk to Emily, and if she says it's okay, you can stay here if you want." And he's like, "Really? Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Emily, can I stay here?" And she's like, "Yeah, that's fine." So yeah, he stayed overnight
So they went
on.
back to Portland, but he stayed here.
Yeah, they were gonna come back for
Wow.
Thanksgiving the next day.
Oh, okay.
And he stayed, and we watched a really awesome, fun new horror movie called Barbarian.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah, I loved
Yeah,
it.
it
I
was
don't
so
really
good.
like many new horror movies. And yeah, I was just joking around when she was gonna let him stay here. I was like, "Sam, have you ever seen The Exorcist?" And I think he was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "My parents let me watch horror movies." I'm like, "Oh, cool." So
Oh, Barbarian's a good one too. Like,
yeah,
it
so
kept me on the edge of my seat
yeah.
that I usually think I can figure out a movie before I get to the end. And well, I mean, I did before the end, but I thought I had it figured out in the first 10 minutes, and
Yeah.
I was wrong like three
Yeah, yeah,
times
yeah.
over.
Yeah, you think the first guy that you meet is the bad guy.
Yeah, I could think of six ways that that guy was totally evil and a serial killer and messed up, but
Yeah.
yeah, that just wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was a great movie because it was like pretty scary for the first half, and then the second half you're like, "Okay, cool.
Yeah,
This is
as soon
just
as
like
it
a
hit that,
fun, this is like the fun, like campy part." And so you aren't as scared when you have to like walk to bed in the dark.
absolutely, because it hits that point like where the end movie could have ended as a short film, and then a famous actor comes on, and you know he's driving
Yeah.
fast down the road, and it's like, whoa,
Yeah, I know.
wait, and then it's like absolutely hilarious the rest of the way through.
Yeah, but it was cool. Yeah, so then Thanksgiving came. My sister and her family came back, and a couple of our friends came up from that I'm friends with from the jiu-jitsu gym came. And yeah, it was just really good. Food was all really fantastic. I'm always really nervous about if my turkey's going to turn out right. I smoke it every time, and I'm like always worried about where to stick the meat thermometer and whether I'm going to
Yeah,
get
if you
the
can
right
get deep enough
get whether
and
I'm going to get the right reading, or whether it's either going to be raw and make everybody sick or come out like super dry. But it was great. Everything timing worked out, so yeah, it was fun. But yeah, I hope everyone had a great day. Yeah, it's just good to be with people, and then everybody was like excited, and a lot of people who had been here have like it's cool because people when people come to my house, they see the progress like every time they come over. So
Yeah, that's got to feel good on your end to be able to show and see things instead of on the daily basis. You see it from what it looked like 3 months ago or whatever.
yeah,
Yeah.
our guests here, let's just let them in.
All right, let's do it. Put them on the spot.
Yeah. All right, I just admitted him, I think. Let's see. Did I screw it up?
Did you boot him?
Yeah, there he
There he
is.
is.
All right. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I can. I am here.
What's going on, dude?
What's going on? Just living
You're on the
the turkey
air.
life. Nice. You
Yeah.
guys have a good Thanksgiving. I know it's one of your favorites, Adam.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Chud's in studio.
Yeah, we're in
Nice.
the same room right now.
Holy shit.
He just drove down, just got here. So what's going on in the land of State Senator John Fetterman?
Living the retard life.
Yeah.
And yeah, hey, I'm saying 2024, let's do Biden Fetterman. Why not?
I think we should flip-flop it.
Yeah.
Fetterman
Fetterman Biden.
He could be a vice president twice and a one-term first president.
Yeah, and then we can, and then like he can do the Trump thing. If you could you switch to vice president, and then we could get another term out of him. Maybe they
Yeah.
could flip-flop it.
Or he could become Speaker of the House, or there's so many avenues with that.
Get him on the pack the Supreme Court.
Yeah. So did you guys have a good Thanksgiving then, I take it?
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It was fantastic. How was yours?
Great. Ate way too much, but that's to be expected.
Yeah,
That's
that's
what it's all about.
kind of the MO. Do you have a family over? Just
Well, my wife, we always go to her aunt's house, and so we had the t her parents, we were there, her aunt and uncle obviously hosted it, and then her sister and brother-in-law and my niece and nephews came in from Pittsburgh. So yeah, it was a nice time, and had a lot to eat, and just enjoyed talking with the family and just chilling, really just relaxing.
what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Hard-hitting topics here on Into the Apocalypse. If you had to go into the apocalypse, what is the one Thanksgiving food you would take with you?
That's tough. I'm gonna have to say, and now are we doing a plate or just one?
One thing. It can be a side or a main, but just
Oh,
one thing.
fuck it, stuffing with gravy.
There you go. That's a good
That
choice.
that's a hard one because I do my her family makes this homemade cranberry sauce, like from real cranberries and everything. It's to die for. I love it. I look forward to it every year. So I was sitting there like, which one do I pick? And I'm like, well, stuffing will keep me fuller a little bit longer. So.
Yeah.
There you go. I think I'd probably have to pick the mashed potatoes with the gravy,
Gotcha.
but I respect your decision.
Yeah. Well, I grew up as a potatoes and I, we have a love hate relationship. I love French fries.
Well,
I
you're from
love
Idaho, right?
originally, yes. So with every meal, we usually had a baked potato. So I freaking hate baked potatoes. Every once in maybe 10 years, I'll have one. I'll be like, oh, okay, that tastes good. But I like fried potatoes. I do like mashed potatoes, but I'm not going to sit there and make sure I order them. You know what I mean? Like if I'm going to sit down for a steak dinner, I'm getting French fries. You know, I don't know. I'm just weird like that. But like I said, it was always a mashed potatoes or baked potatoes growing up. You know, it was cheap. It was poor food. You know what I mean? Abundance in Idaho. So.
Sure.
Yeah, potatoes are probably my favorite food.
I tend to skip over potatoes as a favorite for most meals. Like I'm not the hugest fry fan. I mean, I love them when they're really good, but I can usually do without them. Same with hash browns, things like that. But mashed potatoes is my is that is the place where I love potatoes every time.
Hash browns are the worst. If you're ever at a breakfast, a great move is to substitute hash browns or country potatoes with French fries. French
Oh,
fries with an omelet. Fantastic.
yes. That's great stuff.
Not many people think to do it.
No,
I've only done it once or twice. But yeah, if you, especially if you get something with like soft, runny yolks on the eggs, you know, you can dip your fries in those egg in those yolks, it's pretty good stuff.
Hell yeah! Out here, we in Pennsylvania, we call them dippy eggs. It's the only place in the country that I've ever heard anybody call them dippy eggs. And
dippy eggs.
Other than that, it's just an over easy egg or a sunny side up. But
yeah,
they got their name because people dip their toast in it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
you can respect
Pennsylvanians
that.
Are weird out here.
I don't. Before we get into it, tell everybody about your show.
Yeah, I'm a Ghost from My Third Eye Podcast. I also am a co-host with Shane on Bizarre Encounters. I do a weekly show on my end, and then I have two sideshow projects. One is Talk at the Tavern, that's recorded every Friday, released on Patreon Sunday, and Monday is the first free hour. Same on Wednesdays is the main show, first free hour, and Patreon, you get the rest. And then I'm doing a side project with Ryan Dean called the Conspiracy Underground News Team, or CUNT.
CUNT. So, I love the name.
Yes, I am left lip and he is right lip. And that one spawned out of me doing a typo, I think probably replying to some, I think it was the Wicked Planet or Ron from New England had a post, and we had just covered one of the topics. And I was like, I meant to put, because it used to be called Conspiracy in the News, and I meant to put CITN, and somehow my phone auto-corrected to CUNT, and Ryan laughed, and I laughed, and then we kind of started tossing around. We're like, why don't we do a variation off that? And that's what we came up with. And, you know, people send us questions through voicemail on Instagram and what have you, and we just kind of take their questions, however heavy or light they are, and give our two half-retarded left lip, right lip perspective up. So
love it.
Cool, yeah, man.
It's fun.
That's a lot of content to pump out. And then the other one's a cryptid show, right?
Yes. And I record that usually weekly on Fridays with Shane. So yeah, it's been a busy first year. I'll say that.
I haven't had a chance to check out the Bizarre Encounters yet. Are you guys doing, are you guys just talking, or you guys got interviews, or what are you doing on that?
We do a little bit of both. I like to have guests on, and Shane's good at it doing deep dives, and I'm okay at it. I hate reading. So if you know what I mean, I'd rather just go off memory or something that I read or know about, but he puts together some really great notes. And so we do a combination, you know, 1 week, couple weeks, we might have a couple episodes where guests come on, and then we do a deep dive on different cryptids or you know, a bizarre encounter of some sort, and you know, go from there. But yeah, he's taking charge with the whole thing over there, and I gotta give it to Shane. He puts a lot of hard work into it. So
yeah, that's great. I'll have to check it out. I love cryptid stuff. I love Shane too. So I'm sure it's a winning combination.
It is. So we have a lot of fun with it. It's just, I don't know. It was one of those things that I think I had him, he was either on my show or I was on his, and the topics that we discussed were on the cryptid type of timeline. And he goes, when we stopped recording, I was like, dude, we need to do like a cryptid type show together. And he's like, yeah. And then we tossed some names around, and Bizarre Encounters is what came out, and here we are. So boom. I never thought I'd be doing two different podcasts, and then on my regular podcast doing three different episodes a week. So
what cryptids have you learned about that you were unfamiliar with that kind of blew your mind?
I forget what it was called. I gotta thank Shane because he does all these notes, and that's our Halloween stuff. I should have looked. It's something from Japan, and it's weird because it doesn't have any legs, or it just has, or no arms. It's just like a blob, and it's found in this really cold sea, or some shit like that. It was weird. It was like almost non-believable, but I don't know. I know I don't I'm not really organized with my notes here, but maybe
that sounds pretty bizarre, though.
I don't have that one with, but yeah, I mean, it was just a weird one. It just kind of looked like a walking cloud. I don't know.
And it's a sea creature?
Yeah, it's like a sea cryptid. And I'm not the biggest, I don't know. See, when it comes to cryptids, when it gets into water, I don't know what it is, but I lose interest.
Mm-hmm. What else is there besides Loch Ness Monster?
Stuff like that. There's Frogman. A mantis man has been spotted around different, you know, like creeks and streams. Not necessarily amphibious, but trying to think what other ones are. There's a few. There's some kind of down in the bayou too that kind of resemble like an alligator man. And then, yeah, I mean, it seems like these days people with cryptids just pick an animal and put that animal and man behind it, and there you go.
Yeah,
you have something.
So like sheep, like sheep squatch.
Yes, right? Exactly, like sheep squatch.
But, which we had debunked on our show.
Yeah, we did have it debunked. Besides John Fetterman, are there any that are native to Pennsylvania?
We do have a white Sasquatch that runs around.
Similar to a Yeti.
Not necessarily, because that's what Shane asked me. It is considered Sasquatch, but it's all white. It was spotted up near, I want to say Scranton, Luzerne area.
That's Joe Biden territory.
Yep, a few years back. So it could have been Fetterman.
Scranton boy, Shane. Born and raised.
Yep.
What's the name of it?
It was just the Pennsylvania White Sasquatch is what people were calling it.
Oh, creative.
Yeah. Nothing special. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
Pennsylvanians aren't that creative.
I got to say, not quite on cryptids, but when it comes to the water-based, the amphibious and all of that, I am intrigued less about when we attach man to the name, mm-hmm. but that there are supposedly so many species that we haven't been able to document deep in the depths of the sea, as like we haven't been able to explore so much of the sea. So I'm always kind of interested when something comes up of like a new type of octopus or something like that you might hear about in the news. I'm always just a little curious, like, are we ever going to find something that's intelligent down there in a way that like us humans walking around up here can't really comprehend?
I have to agree with you there. Those type of discoveries do fascinate. Mm-hmm. There is the theory that's floating around out there that octopi aren't even actually from Earth. So
I'm into that. I've heard that. I'm intrigued. Kind of Someone's got stuff to say on that. I'm listening.
Yeah, because it. And then when you watch their behavior and the way they are able to figure out puzzles or just different situations to get in or out of, it's like, wow, holy shit, these things are incredibly intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And then there's also the theory that mushrooms aren't from Earth originally too. So,
yeah.
And then there's the whole, there was a mushroom people at one point. So I don't know. You can dive all over the place with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Every corner is a rabbit hole waiting to be dived into.
Yes.
If you have the will and interest to do so.
Yeah. And time.
And time. Most importantly, time. That's where I fail most.
Has a octopus ever successfully completed a Rubik's Cube?
That I don't know. That'd be interesting. I know they put them in like different type of mazes to get in and out of, and they figure them out relatively quickly. Or even when they're caught on a fishing boat, they somehow find the smallest crack to slip through and get off the boat somehow. And just, I don't know. They're an interesting species, to say the least, but that would be interesting if they could.
Yeah, I've heard they have good memory too. People have been able to see when they observe them underwater, like they know where they're going. You know, they know when they've been, they seem to know that they're back where they were before. They know what's going to be behind this rock, so they might stash something and come back to it, something like that. I can't quite remember how I heard it laid out, that we can see that they have like really strong memory keys.
Yeah, and they also can like remember divers as well. Like certain divers will go to the same area and see the same octopus and not saying form a bond with it, but they don't feel threatened by it. Like they'll come up to the diver and they'll let them touch them and what have you. And then they go back to their little hole and it's neat. But
I've heard there's a documentary out there that's supposed to be pretty good called something like What I Learned About Life from an Octopus. That's like takes place over a matter of years. And it's about a diver who kept going back and visiting the same octopus and like became emotionally attached to him. And eventually the octopus dies or something. And it's supposed to be like a real, real heart-wrenching documentary, but like really fascinating in it to anyone who's interested in octopi, like we're talking right now.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
As you've gone on, so you say your show's been going for like a year, right?
Yeah, a little over a year now.
Is there anything that you didn't ever expect to really pique your interest that you found out while doing your show that you're full blown into now?
Oh, man. I think I'd have to say my latest episode about JFK. Like I've always kind of, it's like one of those conspiracy theories that's been around for so many, and you have so many different angles that came from it. And then when Ryan and I were putting together this episode, I found Corey Hughes and was told he is the man and knows everything there is to know about JFK. I was like, okay, you know, and I heard maybe an hour of his presentation in the past, but when he came on and laid everything out, dude, my mind was blown. And I was just like, I've never looked into JFK from this viewpoint. And it right now that's sitting at probably one of my favorite episodes that I ever got a chance to record.
Yeah, I think I heard it from on Ryan's feed, but I listened to the whole thing. And I am a fan of Corey Hughes. I listen to Day Zero every week, which is a really fun show to listen to. It's Charlie Robinson, Lindsay Sharman, Corey Hughes, and this guy, this black dude, XCubed 420, is pretty funny. And Corey Hughes knows a lot about Israel and what they get up to. And he's a great guest to have on if you want to get your show taken down. I've wanted to do some shows with him for a while, and like that's the one stuff thing I'm really interested in it, but it's like my wife owns a business in Portland, Oregon, and the other person that I do the show with is not Israeli, but one of the people who a lot of people like her live in Israel, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And so, I mean, it's stuff that I want to do. I want to do a show on the ADL and how they came to be. And Corey Hughes knows all about that. But your JFK show with him was fantastic because he breaks it down. And we'll hear everybody talk about, like the mafia killed JFK because, you know, they helped get him elected. And then he, you know, did things that weren't friendly with them. Or he was going to end the Federal Reserve, or he was going to get us out of Vietnam, and they couldn't have that. And Corey Hughes says it is because he was going to not allow Israel to have nukes, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, you got to have that controlling power. And people, you know, he even tied in the mafia side, you know, for your listeners that might not have heard it. And when he's referring to Jews, he's actually referring to the Khazarians and how it, not the original tribe and what have you. So that's kind of where Kanye is getting a lot of heat, or Ye, whatever he goes by these days, is he's not articulating what he's trying to get the information out there good enough, in my opinion. He needs to break it down, do a little bit more research. I'm not saying Kanye's a genius or, you know, stupid, but with a little bit more research and a little bit better articulating your words, I think you would have had a lot more people scratching their heads and being like, even if he just would have dropped the word, the Khazarians run everything. people would be like, who the fuck are the Khazarians?
I mean, why couldn't he say the Zionists?
Or the Zionists.
Because, like, did you see the Dave Chappelle monologue on Saturday Night Live?
I didn't see it, but I heard it.
It's pretty spot on, man. And he, like, at one point he says, if I could talk to him, I'd tell him there's two words that you can say together and nothing good ever comes after it. And he goes, the Jews, you know? So
that's his first mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe the only mistake.
What do you make of, does it seem like to you guys that topic has really come up a lot more, or is it just because we're involved in this world?
You know, I honestly I've kind of thought about that, not just with that topic, but a couple different topics. But part of me thinks it's because we're so into this in our daily routines. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Obviously, we all have podcasts, and you know, we're looking for content, and we're researching, or you know, talking to different guests. And I think you can say the proverbial veil. We grab a hold of it and kind of look behind it, and we see all these pieces moving around, and try to bring it to light in a certain way that, you know, for our shows or whatever, or even just people in our daily life. But I don't think, if you step back, and I can do this just here in my house, my wife, complete normie.
Yeah.
And now she'll kind of bragged yesterday or today about, you know, how she used to believe everything on the news. And she's like, yeah, I don't now. And I kept my mouth shut, but I wanted to say, well, you still think I'm losing my mind when I bring stuff up to you. And then 6 months to a year later comes out to be true. You know what I mean? And so I don't know. I think it's a lot to do with us being podcasters and looking into this stuff, because your normie average everyday Joe doesn't. They just, hey, my life's great. I'm going to work, punch a clock. I go home, make dinner, watch some TV, go to bed, and that's my life. And I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Corey on your show, he kind of broke it down and said that Theodore Herzl, who was, I think, who created the ADL, he was just one of the original Zionists. And he makes the point that Israel, like, for to get people to believe that Israel is necessary, they have to believe that they're being oppressed and that people hate them.
Yeah.
So he would go in and like do all this stuff to make people hate Jewish people on purpose, so that they could like band together around the idea of having their own land where they would be free and safe.
Yeah, it's a beautiful deception. You know what I mean? Because not only is he a quote unquote Jew or a Zionist, he's telling people to hate his own people, yet profiting off those people hating on his people, but yet he's oppressed at the same time. It's BLM. No different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or pick any other organization that does similar shit.
Puts up one name and does the opposite of what that is.
Yes.
You know what I heard today on I was listening to No Agenda, is that, remember America's Frontline Doctors?
Yeah.
Like, they were like the big great one that everybody loved, that was getting everybody ivermectin, and then turned out, like, once everybody found out about it and tried to get ivermectin from them, they had like, it was like $500 to get a prescription of ivermectin from them. The woman, I forget her name, who was like she was a doctor and the spokesperson for them. Like, she just did all the same exact stuff that Patrice Cullors and all the Black Lives Matter women did. She just bought like a $3.5 million mansion in Florida, in Naples, Florida, like, has been on a whole bunch of private jet flights, like $100,000 a month in private jets, and like her cost of living is like $50,000 a month. So it's like it's the exact same thing, but on supposedly our side, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that, I don't know. And everybody that had a half a brain and questioned anything that was coming out during that time and up to today, I don't see how people aren't losing their minds over people still believing in half of this bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, it even came out on, I think it was Fauci might have said it, but everybody, the people that are dying more from Rona are the people that have been poked. They are the leading causes of death. And it's like, we try to tell you don't put this shit in your fucking system. Yeah. And and then,
you all know, of us are saying, oh,
we never really told doctors not to use ivermectin. That was just dialogue.
Yeah.
No, you really did.
Yeah, people lost their medical licenses for prescribing it.
All of us that are labeled conspiracy theorists are losing our minds over this, and we just kind of come in and out of it. I feel like me, Lanny, and I we're on the same team about this, but we tend to trade places of like that. I'm losing my mind over other people either still not getting it, not giving us credit, whatever it is. I'm losing my mind about it, and she reminds me. Well, you know, we were closed-minded at one point, and we didn't, you know, it took a long time to get to where we are, and not everybody can see, people can't hear things until they're ready to hear it. And then, you know, she brings me back around, and then pretty soon she's losing her mind saying, how can people be this stupid? And then I have to kind of take it from my angle and try and bring it back to like, yeah, but we can't live a life where we absolutely hate all the people around us.
Right.
You know, like we have to accept that to some degree. And depending on the day of the week, sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's the case right now. I want to go, but that's bullshit. Yeah. They're wrong. They should know that they're wrong. I'm right. Why won't they admit it? You know? And then it's just kind of around and around we go.
It is. And you know, hey, with that, you made a great point, because I think it was maybe 2 years before I started my podcast is when I, and so we're talking what, 3 years ago now, is when I first actually fully believed in chemtrails, which I denied it for so many years because I'm an Air Force vet. I worked around the F-16. I loaded bombs. I did all that. I never saw evidence of it. But then being educated from friends on different Telegram groups, and they're like, look into DARPA and HARP, and you know, it's put in the fuel and this and that, and you start looking, and what really I think nailed the nail in the coffin was when Texas had that freakishly cold winter, and people were going all over social media and saying, look, make a snowball, it doesn't melt. I'm like, all right, get the hell out of here, I'm gonna try it. And at the time, before I quit smoking, I was smoking cigars. So I had one of those little butane torches. Okay. Went out, packed a snowball, and I held that butane torch, and it just kind of turned black, but it was not melting in my hand. And I'm like, yo, this is messed up. And I come running in, I show my wife, I'm like, watch, grabbed another one, held it there. And she's like, that's not melting. I said, no, that's not real snow. And from then on, poof. And it's weird because that is like one of the conspiracies that gets people into conspiracy theories, you know, that
right.
Maybe it wasn't 9/11 or whatever, you know, chemtrails, you know, it's so basic and what have you. And now I'm just like, you know, I look up every day and I'm just like, wow, this, I can't believe I was that naive. You know, I was that closed-minded that I believed in all these other conspiracies and all these different cryptids, but I couldn't buy that one that my government. Yeah. You know, but sometimes you just need slapped in the face or, just a kindly, hey, wake up, you know, here's the truth.
And yeah, that's the, I would imagine that just about anybody in this conspiracy podcast circle that we're in, at one point, any one of us would have called someone stupid for something that we hold dear to our hearts today. Mm-hmm. You know, there's at least one thing, if not dozens of things, because it's something that Lanny and I say it all the time. Like, you can't hear something until you're ready to hear it. You know, someone could have told you about chemtrails over and over again, and you just like, you're like, no, that's dumb. I'm sorry. I'm not entertaining that. They could have told you about a cryptid or a flat earth or hollow earth or something to those effects. And you're just like, sorry, I took science class. I know this. I don't need to put any thought into what you're saying. You're stupid. And we push it aside until one day suddenly our ears are ready to hear. And then it changes our point of view forever.
Exactly. And, you know, you bring up flat earth, hollow earth. I don't know where I stand on any of it. But what I come out at the end of the day learning is that everything that we've been taught is a complete and utter lie. Everything, yeah. Including our own history, the history of the world. Everything is a lie. So, yeah, okay, fine. I'll question everything. I will entertain the idea that the earth is flat or it's hollow or it's maybe it's like a golf ball and it has all these little divots in it. You know, who knows? Because NASA lies to us. You know what I mean? Like
that one we can all agree on. That's like, yeah. I won't hold the title of being a flat earther because I just can't know. But I do believe that flat earth is the most important conspiracy. I'll find myself saying that often because of the questions, because of the lies it exposes and the questions that it causes us to think. And it really starts to allow you to really, really question the universe as a whole, all things as a whole. Whereas if you can't go there, then you do have some kind of block up. I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just because, okay, they say the earth is flat and space doesn't exist. I don't know. There's a big part of me that, yeah, I do think space exists because I believe in different beings. You know what I mean? Aliens, call them whatever you want. You know, if you believe in a creator, how can you be so naive to think that he only created us as a life form? You know what I mean? In this vast, endless amount of space. You know what I mean? It's not just us existing here. I mean, I don't believe, you know, like these are just my opinions and what have you. You know, there's people out there that totally disagree with that. But at the end of the day, I don't know. There's too many people with abduction stories or crazy, you know, intergalactic travel or whatever the case that, okay, either they're super crazy and they're lying and they've made up this story to the point where they have everything memorized word for word and nothing ever changes, or they're telling the truth. And a lot of times I think I lean more towards these people are telling the truth because they have everything to lose, nothing to gain.
Yeah, I think they're telling the truth about something for sure. Yeah. That's why I also think within just flat earth again is you've got a block if you can't entertain it, but you also don't want to entertain it so much that you put up a block to everything else, to exactly. Alien abduction stories. Like even if you come to this like logical conclusion that space must be fake and gay, those people, like you said, like you should be able to listen to them well enough to be able to tell that they're not lying, but maybe they have a different perception of what happened than you. And maybe, yeah, space is fake and gay from the way you see it, but, it's a different way you've figured out a different way to describe something that someone else describes as space. And that doesn't mean that they're lying or that they're any less valid, really.
No. And in any culture that you look into has tales of whatever you want to call it, flying chariots, a flying wheel in the sky, you know, Native Americans, the South Native Americans and South, you know, the Aztecs, Mayans, Egyptians, you know, pick your continent, your race through history, all have a similar story of something coming from the sky that was more intelligent. You know, Christians sometimes call them angels. You know what I mean? Could they be angels? Absolutely. But mm-hmm. Could they be from a different planet, more advanced? I don't know, because I can't prove it.
Or what if the alien and the angel are the same thing, coming from the same place, but depending on perspective, it's either space or heaven or another realm. Mm-hmm. You know? That's where I like to stay really open. Like I don't want to close any doors. To any perspective like that. That's why I won't take the flat earth title, even though like I love it. I can go down that rabbit hole for way too long. And then to the point where I get bored with it, and then I put it down for a while, and then I find myself back there again because I just love it so much. But I still won't close off that there are at least a dozen other things that I can think of that don't fit with Flat Earth that are pretty far out that I can entertain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need, I mean, I'm 75% flat earther, you know, like, I know I'm not on a ball. Like I don't know where I stand, but I know I don't stand on a ball. But I mean, if you listen to like David Weiss talk, he'll say like, I don't really talk about other planets and stuff. Cause I don't have any idea, you know, but I know what's going on here. So I don't think it has to be mutually exclusive for your worldview, or as well as like Flat Earth and Hollow Earth. And yeah, I just can't. We're going to talk to Dave Zed soon. I can't. And that's going to be like our first alien show. And we're like almost 170 episodes in. And I just can't. And they're so gay. I think that it's just like, and then now that it's being pushed by the government, and I mean, I think there's so much more. It could be just as easily that they came out of the ocean or out of the middle of the earth, you know, who knows, or out of the, from underneath the earth.
Okay. I just thought of something, Adam, as you say that the government pushing the alien agenda, I'll say, is very, very suspect to me, right? Yes. But just imagine, just alternate reality for one sec. What would we all think if the government said, oh yeah, the earth is flat? Or maybe not they said it. Maybe they, you know, they don't discredit NASA, but they start chipping away at the idea that maybe it's possible that NASA got some things wrong and that flat earth is, you're not totally insane to consider it.
Didn't they do that to it?
Have they? Extent?
I don't know. That sounds very familiar. Like I came across something that
Neil deGrasse Tyson has already said it's not a globe.
Yeah, he says it's a pear-shaped oblique spheroid. I think that
I'd have a really hard time listening to anything that guy says.
Yeah. So
yeah.
But I don't know. They'd have to get me with the moon landing before they get me with.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm going to reaching too far to say flat earth, but yeah, what if they started to indicate that maybe some mistakes were made and maybe everyone, including the government, got fooled that we went to the moon and we didn't really.
I think that would make me really happy because of the way I think, and then I would hope that I would be grounded enough to be like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. I hate these people. They hate me and want me dead. Why are they telling me this? Let's take it down the line. That's what I tell Deborah all the time. You need to just go step by step by step by step by step and see where it all leads to.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's what, hopefully that's what I would do. And hopefully, you know, I don't think there's really any really good just masters of their craft like they had back in the old days. I think people are so dumb that they can just do such like COINTELPRO used to be like a fine art that guys in the government did and just fooled everybody and it worked. And now they just do the same exact thing that's already been done, or just stop talking about things and say, we never said that. And yeah, it works, you know.
People are really capable of taking in information that conflicts with what they've heard their whole lives, and sudden, if it's coming from an official source, they can really be okay with it really fast. The aliens is a great example of it, of that. I mean, forever since what, the 1950s at least, it's just been, you're insane if you mm-hmm. believe in aliens. You know, you're not necessarily insane, but you got something wrong with your head, and obviously that's not what's going on, and you're just wrong, 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 wrong for decades and decades and decades, all the way until just even 5 years ago still, you were wrong to say that there were aliens with certainty.
Right.
And now suddenly it's like, it's okay. It's, there's a, I mean, you still got to be skeptical. You still got to say, well, some of those are probably from China, or Russia,
oh, yeah,
or something like that. But some of them could be, and you're not crazy at all for saying that anymore.
No, you're completely right. I mean, we're all right, relatively the same age. I think the show X-Files, you know, I used to run home to watch that.
I had a CCD, like class getting ready. Like I used to have to go Sunday night to Catholic church group. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it would be over, get home, X-Files, brand new episode, watch it with my dad.
Yeah. And, you know, that kind of was the big mainstream starting platform of kind of normalizing aliens. Yeah. And now when I was a little kid, I thought they were real. You know what I mean? I believed in UFOs. You know, there wasn't much. I call me a naive little kid, but there wasn't much that I conspiracy wise, you know, that I didn't believe. I mean, I believed in Bigfoot since I was like in first and second grade camping in Idaho, talking with, you know, if I was lucky enough to take a friend with, hey, I heard they have Bigfoot over in like Oregon and Washington.
You know, yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if they classify Idaho in there, but I think you're from the Pacific Northwest, so it's kind of baked in. Like my grandma told me about Bigfoot when I was a little kid growing up in Oregon. You know, she's from Washington. So
yeah, and so with aliens, you know, and yeah, okay, it wasn't until what 2020 when they came out with their, you know, I guess you could call it a disclosure six or nine page report that was bullshit, but
and another. And then the other big cultural moment, I'm calling it that, is Bob Lazar on Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do this. I don't know if this is turning into kind of the cringy take of like, we used to be like, well, maybe we went to the moon, but I don't think the footage is real, you know, but maybe, you know, we had to do that. Like I'll say Bob Lazar believes what he saw, but he was handpicked because he was like a drunk loudmouth who would like later go on to get busted for having a brothel. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's the kind of guy that they picked out because they know that they could feed him this information and
pump him full of drugs, make him think it's really happening, put him in the simulation, whatever means they have to make him believe that that's really what's, maybe it's a combination of drugs and the simulation.
What? LSD's a hell of a thing.
You were in the Air Force, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is David Fravor Navy or Air Force?
I think David Fravor was Navy.
Okay. What's your opinion of that whole deal? Being a military man yourself.
I'm not too well versed in, I guess, what he has to say or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It could be true. I mean, I'm not one to judge, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like Bob Lazar, could he be telling the truth? Absolutely. Could he not? Could he be this drunk? They pumped him full of fucking hallucinogens. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, you know. But then I look at everything as, okay, are they really who they say they are? Are they a plant to give out misinformation in a sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I think a lot of people are, it's funny. There's this, Tartaria guy, Old Scary World. He's a really fun mm-hmm. follow on. He's been on Matt's show a bunch and, he came on our 100th episode, but it would make me laugh. Cause he would refer to little green men as boomer conspiracies that we need to move past. So,
yeah, maybe not. I don't know. You know, we carry around in our pockets on a daily basis a little supercomputer that has more computing power than the original computer that helped put us in space. Now, it's also 2022.
Like a million times stronger. Isn't the computing system the same as like a Texas Instruments calculator is today?
TI-85 probably.
Yeah. So now, having said that, and it being 2022, how do I have dead spots yet a president can use a landline and call an astronaut? That just doesn't make any sense. So
it's my I hate it because like there's people who I really, really like who think we went to the moon. And it's my one thing, like where okay, that's my test. Like I'll listen to your takes. Love OBDM. We didn't go to the fucking moon. Like no. It's great. No.
It would take a. I'm so far in the other direction that it to me it's a conspiracy that we did go to the moon. Mm-hmm. Like for real, I like think of those people as the conspiracy theorists, while we're the ones who are looking at it with clear eyes. As you know, like yeah, a landline call to the moon in 1969, no problem. It's been.
Can you imagine the long distance bill on that?
December 2nd or so, early December, is going to be 50 years since they've even told us that they've put a man on the moon. That would be like 50 years since the last time they said
1972 or 73 was the last time that we went to the moon.
I think it was 72, December of 72, I think, but it could have been 73. But yeah, either way, you know, it's like I joked, they made a big deal in 2019, right before the pandemic, that it's been 50 years that we've been going to the moon. And I really pushed at the shop that I worked at, like, hey guys, isn't it crazy that it's been almost 50 years since we last went to the moon?
It's a painful process.
And they'd be like, what? No, it's been, you misunderstood. Hey, dumbass, you misunderstood. We've been going to the moon for 50 years. I'm like, no, it's almost 50 years since we did. We only did it 6 or 7 times total. Yeah. And now we haven't done it for about 50 years. And they'd all be like, I don't think that's right. I think we go all the time.
No, okay. We really don't.
Like, please have just a landing take strip 5 seconds to look into this, and you'll realize immediately that you have this whole framework in your head that's false. Uh-huh. And you know, then if you put that in conjunction with that, they made a telephone call from a landline to the moon that's 250,000 miles away. But yet earlier today, I got a line dropped on my cell phone while I was making a call. Like, it just, that should do it for anyone.
You would think. I mean, I'm a logical thinking kind of guy, but people are still driving around with masks. You know,
I know, right? Exactly.
They're making a big comeback, man.
Yeah, I saw so many on my way here today on the highway, single drivers, not even like a car with 2 or 3 people, just one person wearing a mask.
So
you go 80 miles.
That's what
down
happens
the road
when you drive through Seattle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I get frustrated with those type of people, but then I have to quickly say, look, don't even waste your energy. They're an NPC. Maybe, you know, hey, I look at their age and I'm like, yeah, they grew up in the era where they thought the news was telling them the truth and they still think that. So, whatever. I'm not going to waste my time, you know, trying to convince them otherwise. It's just same with my in-laws, you know, huge, you know, they were Trump supporters, Republican all the way, their whole life. You know, her dad's 79, mom's 77, I think. Yeah. Fully jabbed, fully boosted. And
that's how that's like the ages of my parents. That's the same. Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta live and let die. I was gonna say live and let live, but you know, yeah. In this case, it's like sometimes you just gotta move on. And you know, that's what I was talking about with this very subject earlier, with me and Lanny having to talk each other down. Like sometimes you get mad. It's different with family, of course, but just in general, the general population, it's so easy to get mad at them, and then you have to take a step back and realize that's their fight. Their choice. You know, I can only control my life. I have influence on my family and people close to me, but you know, those people in the car when I'm driving here who are wearing a single mask, even one iota of anger, which it causes over and over again in me, but it's worthless. It's wasted energy on my point, mm-hmm. on my part, because they're not going to hear it. And even if I could speak to that person, they're not going to hear it. They don't have the ears for it.
You know, that actually kind of ties way back into the question that you asked, Adam. Like, since starting my podcast, what is one thing that maybe has changed with me or look into? A would be realizing that I'm an empath and don't really have the anxiety that I thought I had. And looking at things in a much more calmer state than the old me would get heated real quick and not necessarily want to engage in arguments, but you know, you see something you want to just, oh, blah, 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 they're stupid, blah, 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 blah. And now it's just like, I've learned to let a lot just roll off, and it's okay to have conversations with strangers in the grocery store because I know how to put up a field to block energies that I used to think, oh my God, I have social anxiety. I'm a retard and I need to do this. Da, 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 da. I can't be in public. No, I can. And now I love it. You know what I mean? And I don't know. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from starting this podcast that I can say has really changed me for the better.
That's great.
Tremendous.
That's a it's an important skill. To be able to let those things roll, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because
if you take them on and you hold them in, then you're getting all this negative energy in whatever way you want to take that. I don't necessarily mean it anything other than negative emotions or whatever, mm-hmm. however you want to take that energy. You're taking it in and you're holding on to it as opposed to letting it pass right through you or over you. You know, it doesn't even need to go through you. You can just let it roll off your back.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And I put it to work at my job with my old manager who's no longer there. He was either told you're going to be let go or we're going to try a different position to see if that better fits you. But I would purposely take his negative energy and spin it right back around on him and just piss him the fuck off. Yeah. And he had no idea. I was just sitting there controlling the little puppet strings over his fucking head and him sitting there. Why isn't he getting upset? Why isn't he getting upset? You mean nothing to me, dude. Once I've finally realized I can do that with people, like, you mean nothing to me at all. And I kind of had that kind of conversation with my wife. It was either last night or the night before. We were watching TV and she said someone died. And I don't know who it was. It might have been someone kind of famous or whatnot. But anyway, and she, I was just like, okay. And she's like, well, he left. It was a local tattoo artist. And he's like, or she's like, well, he was really close with, you know, his kids and what have you and this and that. And had a really great relationship. And I just looked at her and said, well, he doesn't now. And she was like, that is so rude. I'm like, how we've been together for almost 15 years. You know, she's like, but you're an empath. And that, I said, yes, but I have no empathy for people that I do not know for a reason. I said, it's either the way I was raised or further enhanced from the military. And if I don't know people, I don't care if they died. I mean, yeah, it's sad, but at the end of the day, it doesn't have a direct effect on my life. And if situations and people don't have that direct effect on my life, I don't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going to let it bother me. But she's the type, like most women, that, you know, they're very emotionally driven, and I'm just not, you know what I mean? But I've met people in the podcast game that, you know, now we're going through some personal, you know, demons that I didn't know before I had a podcast, but, you know, I reach out, you know, a couple times a week, you know, hey, how you doing? I know you're struggling. I just want to make you need to talk. I'm here. You know what I mean? But I chose that person to be in my, you know, life, in my circle. But these other people, it's like, I could care less.
Yeah, there's only enough time in the day. And yeah, I know how it goes.
Yeah. If you're not my family, you know, I mean, it sounds harsh, but I mean, I care about you guys. You know, we kind of formed a decent relationship or what have you. But, you know, if I heard something really fucked up happened to you guys, you know, or whatever, you went out to check your goats and a fucking mountain lion came down and fucking mauled you up pretty good, I'd be like, holy fuck, you know, I'd be reaching out, you know. dude, you all right? You know, if there's anything that, you know, my family can do or whatever. But other than that,
there's a direct connection.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I remember in particular when Princess Diana died, and a bunch of people that I was around were very sad. And I was like, I just said, I couldn't care less. Like I don't understand why you people are grieving.
Yeah.
And they just thought that I was the worst human being. These are all
same women. With the Queen.
Even more recently with the Queen. And anytime any celebrity, like, I don't know. I mean, there's been a few just not very long ago, a celebrity died who I'd met in real life. And I did go, oh, that's too bad. But even then it's like, I don't know. I'm certainly not shedding a tear or anything.
No.
Let alone
they don't know you.
Holy smokes.
They're not there for you when you're on your low spots or your high spots, or, you know, just, hey, need a hand, hand me a nail because I got to fix this fence or whatever. You know what I mean? They're not there for that shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you met them, yeah, that's about the extent. It goes, yeah, that sucks. You know, whatever. I met them, had a good experience with them. Okay. Then you go about your day.
Move along.
Yeah. It's really annoying when people are performative about death, and then like when somebody dies, like say like a local tattoo artist that's, you know, popular on Instagram, and everybody would try to relate their life to him and be like, oh, I got tattooed at his shop by a guy that was an apprentice under him, you know, and you know, I'll always remember him by this fairy that I got from his apprentice, and you know.
Yeah, it's they annoying. Try to connect themselves to them.
Yeah, like, everybody loves you when you're dead. I remember my wife was like a bartender at this down in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, which is, if you, I don't know how close you are to Philadelphia, but it's the Kensington of San Francisco.
Oh shit! Yeah,
and said. Yeah, and it's not as bad as that. I've seen videos, but yeah, like this old alcoholic guy died at pretty much like a normal age for like an elderly person to die. And this guy had been an alcoholic his whole life and died. And like, you know, he was like this lovable guy who went to the same shitty bar in the Tenderloin every day. And it was like, there was like a competition fight to see like who could take care of him in his last days, you know, and like who was going to claim him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sick. Yeah. Lanny has some firsthand opinions on that subject, because one of her best friend died when they were really young, when they were like teenagers. So mm-hmm. She went through this whole thing of, she was like, they were actually best friends. They spent all their time at each other's houses for, you know, 7 years from like elementary school and on. And then suddenly everyone in the high school is like talking about how close they were with her. And she's like, she knew her relationship with each and every one of the individuals. So it like really took this angsty teenager toll on her. That is, she has a lot of opinions on latching on to other people's deaths. And
yeah,
it's a terrible thing to do, really. I mean, like, think about that with the celebrity. That celebrity really does have close family and friends who mm-hmm. really actually are grieving. And how do they feel about you trying to talk about how important they were in your life because you met them that one time, or because, you know, you loved their movies so much, or whatever, you know?
That's my ex-wife to a T. Mm-hmm. Any drama is good drama because she'll put herself into it. Oh, I knew them. I handed them the cash at the bank when they'd come in, and I'd talk to them weekly. It's like, what the? Get the hell out of here with your shit. You know what I mean? It's like, golly.
Oh man, what else is going on? We're an hour in. What else we got, guys?
Whatever you want to talk about. I don't know. I know you guys usually keep your shows right around an hour, don't you?
Yeah. We can call it.
Yeah, we can call it. We can keep going. It's up to you. You guys are the hosts.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know. I'm sure if we just pick a topic and start talking, we'll keep going.
Okay. Pick one.
Pick one. I'm supposed to do it?
Yeah.
Pizzagate. Was there a basement in the pizza parlor?
Yes.
Yes.
There was. Because Chris from Rained Out Rantcast actually called the business next door, posing as a new news outlet. And yeah, got confirmation that there was a basement where they stored their canned tomatoes, what have you.
Right, right. I've heard that.
Their cheese pepperoni pizzas.
But then I've also heard something that...
succulent hot dogs, walnut sauce.
It wasn't that place, but another pizza place that was like a block away. And they were the ones with the basement, or the maybe the other way around.
You're thinking, so the main one is Comet.
Comet.
Ping Pong Pizza. Mm-hmm. That's the one that James Alefontis owns. And then like across the street or a block down, he owns Besta Pizza as well.
Mm-hmm. What's the one Nancy Pelosi owned?
I don't know what the one Nancy Pelosi owned was.
Say it's like goat pizza? Let me look that up.
Yeah, there is like a goat.
I didn't goat's know Nancy
head,
Pelosi.
Goat's head pizza or something. I didn't know Nancy Pelosi owned one.
I figured she frequented these types, but I didn't know she owned one.
Yeah, Ryan actually brought those types. Attention. Oops, spelling her name wrong here.
I had that guy scheduled a long, long time ago to come on and talk about Pizzagate, and he had to reschedule, and we never got around to it. Maybe I should reach out to him. But yeah, that's the one that like really... that's probably the first big conspiracy that I like looked into that like everyone else was saying was fake that I believed in, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's when I got like the first dose of, oh, that's been debunked, mm-hmm. you know, and then using the umbrella term of one thing to encapsulate like this whole network.
When you say you saw it was debunked, that's like Wikipedia told you.
Yeah.
Kind of level, surface level. You look at it and there's, before you see any information about it, you see something that says this conspiracy has been debunked.
And what's been debunked is that there was, which I'm not saying is debunked, but that there's a basement that had child sex slaves in it.
Right.
And that's like the whole conspiracy too. If you asked my mom, if she even knew what it was, you know, she'd be like, oh, that's been debunked.
Yeah, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it as it was first emerging. You know, I was like, oh, that's interesting. Kind of keep an eye on it sort of a thing. But it was when I started having texts and tweets pointed out to me with the weird code words that those people were using. It was like, I don't care what you think. Something weird is happening here. If it's not child sex, something else is happening. But something is being conveyed through codes, and it's not what it seems to be, whatever that is.
No, and it was right around that time that the FBI came out with all their pedophile lingo and symbols and this and that. And I did, on a side note, find the name of the Pelosi family. It's Goat Hill Pizza.
Oh, and is that in San Francisco?
I believe it is. Yeah.
What's did you look it up? What's the address? Because I think I've been there.
It is 171 Stillman Street
in San Francisco.
Hold on, maybe it's not in San Francisco.
Yeah, I lived in San Francisco. That doesn't sound familiar.
Was it Goat Hill? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's weird. There's one in Bellingham, Washington. It's Goat Mountain Pizza.
Okay. Is the 415 area code a...
Yes, that's San Francisco.
Okay. Yeah, then it's
Stillman Street. I think that might be down in the dog patch, but I think I've been there.
Yeah, so... there's a lot of weird things with them. I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but it was just weird that the Pelosi family has a pizza place and it's called Goat Hill. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
It was kind of odd.
I've been mentioning Pelosi in recent times and in real life conversations because I keep getting heated about, like, we keep talking about the masks and basically me being right this whole time and everyone else being wrong. And I keep getting mad at people who were mad at me for things like hamburgers and haircuts is the way I keep putting it. You were mad at me because you thought I wanted hamburgers and haircuts, neither of which did I want. but you would accuse me of trying to kill grandma because I wanted to go get hamburgers and haircuts. And as I do that, it's I suddenly keep realizing, oh yeah, and you know, but you know who really did go out and get a haircut? Freaking Pelosi. You know, in all that time, you're still mad at me, even though I was right this whole time. And yet, you know, you're like saddened by Pelosi stepping down. You know,
what how much of her stepping down do you think has to do with her husband getting butt rammed by a Canadian illegal immigrant?
I feel like it's right there,
dude. That dude.
Yes.
Remember, it happens. The next day, Joe Biden's talking about it at some fucking thing, saying like,
it's January 6th.
It's January 6th over again. Where's Nancy? Mm-hmm. And now it's, and then that thing that the CBS Bay Area news station came out with a week later gets leaked, where they admit that the San Francisco police said he opens the door and walks back towards the guy. That gets mm-hmm. wiped off the internet. Next thing you know, it's out of the, she's stepping down and it's out of the news cycle.
Yeah. Well, there's been rumors for years that Paul was gay.
Yeah. He's married to Nancy Pelosi.
I mean,
and then did you hear, you know, he got a DUI up in Napa Valley. That's where I went to high school.
Yeah. That was what, 6 months prior to that?
Something like that. Year. Tell people that's the same road that my father got a DUI on. But he was driving like a new Porsche SUV and the passenger airbag was deployed. And on new cars,
I didn't even hear that.
Passenger airbags don't go off unless someone's sitting in the seat.
Yeah.
You know?
So who the hell was the passenger?
Who knows?
We don't
know. And then they were saying the car that he hit, the person didn't sustain any injuries, and then it came out, yeah, they did. They went to the hospital with, you know, not severe injuries or life-threatening injuries, but, you know, injuries nonetheless. And then you look at the photo of him getting released from the hospital, and you have one black eye, just one black eye.
Oh yeah,
that black eye glove.
Being beat with a hammer, but you get one black eye. And I
think that Pelosi stepping down does have to do with these things, just because it's drawing attention to people like us, and we're going to sit here and make a stink out of it. And I think that if they let us do that long enough, just as we have with COVID, people will eventually come around. They'll say that we were wrong the whole time, mm-hmm. but if we keep talking about it, eventually the mainstream narrative will come around that, like, yeah, he's gay and he's fucked up and he likes hammers in the ass. And, you know, he likes driving hammered and getting hammered.
Yes.
But
stop. Hammer time.
If we keep going, what's the best way to make that not interesting is to have him not be with someone who's not be married to an interesting person, you know.
True.
She becomes I mean,
if that's what it took for her to step down, man, that should have happened a long fucking time
ago. No, we could have started partying with that guy and set him up a long time ago.
Yeah.
You can be the decoy, not me.
I look at some of these politicians that have been in their elected position for how many years, like Dianne Feinstein, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and every district that these people represent are in shambles. And it's like, what, how are your people still voting you in? Like
they're in shambles, but they're high population. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's good and bad in all those types of districts. So therefore, like the people who are doing well, like don't look at the negatives and they just go, well, yeah, I'm in a good place. I'm personally in a good place. Therefore my representative must be good. You know what I mean? Something like that, because I don't know. I feel like from a national scale, when you just like look at who these people are, they keep getting reelected and they're in terrible, terrible places.
But man, in San Francisco, there's a very, very small percentage of that city that is not affected by her terrible policies. Like, yeah, where she lives, there's not bums walking all over the place and shitting on the ground because you have to walk up the hill to get there, you know? And it's like way out on the way to Marin County, out to the Golden Gate Bridge, you know? But I mean, there's wealthy, wealthy people in San Francisco all over the place who are living right down in that, you know? It's it's a strange place. Like, I lived in Oakland forever, bad parts of Oakland, you know? And, but it's like kind of a weird place where it's really, really concentrated and bad in certain areas. And it's like, okay, if you went down to, you know, way deep in East Oakland into the avenues and you got fucking carjacked, you're like a normal white guy who gets carjacked and the shit beat out of you. It's like, okay, well, you weren't supposed to be there. Like, you were out there trying to get drugs or doing something dumb. But in San Francisco, it's like you can't escape it. It's everywhere, you know? So
they even have a map on where they're pooping.
Yeah, the app. Like, I never saw that, but you know, it's just poop everywhere, you know. My girlfriend used to live down there, or my wife, when she was my girlfriend when I first met her, she lived down there. Man, it was bad news. It's so crazy that I used to go sleep at her place in the Tenderloin, and now I live on like a farm.
It's there's just a better place now.
Yeah, there's just as much shit on where I live now. That's the similarity, you know.
But here's the good part: the shit that you walk around in can be used for something better.
Yeah.
There's no crack or pharmaceutical drugs in your animal's shit that's all over the place out here.
Yeah.
And to be honest, and it's no different than living here in Pennsylvania, where you have, you know, Philly, you have the Scranton area, and Pittsburgh and Erie all always go blue. Pittsburgh, it's been a toss up the last few years. You know, they went heavy on Trump. They love Trump. And but it, you know, driving up to different branches and what have you.
Can you see that? That's Oregon.
Yeah, that's different.
County right at the red one right at the very top. So
that's no different than Pennsylvania.
It's no different than like every state. Yeah, California.
You get these big cities and they always go blue, and it's like
so hard driving out here to your place, Adam. You know, it's like I know how close we are to Portland. And I know what this state's like. Same with Washington. I just drove through a whole bunch of Washington, most of the west coast of Washington. If I look out off the freeway and spot homes, those are not homes of woke people.
Yeah.
Like anywhere. But then I go through, you know, Seattle. Yeah, that's pretty woke. You know, I didn't go through Portland to get here, but I know that's pretty woke. But I'm like the whole drive, I'm not seeing the in quotes woke people. You know, I'm not saying that all these people are necessarily awake, like, or whatever by our standards, but they're pretty normal people. A lot of them wear masks and whatnot, but they're not the extreme right. They're not the blue, you know, they're at least not blue. And yet I talk all the time living in Washington. I'm like, well, what's my vote worth? It doesn't mean anything because I'm in such a blue state. Well, I go drive around my own state and I'm like, this isn't a very blue place, is it?
No. And I don't know. It, like even here, I live in a town. I don't even have a red light. You know what I mean? There's no red light in my little teeny tiny town. And for the majority of it, anywhere you go in central Pennsylvania, even north central, anywhere other than those, red. You see your, you know, people still flying their Fetterman shit and what have you. And it's just like, like, really? Like, okay, now you're just announcing that you're fucking retarded. Like, how can you legitimately put that sign in your yard and say, yeah, he's the best guy that can represent us? Yeah, really? What are you smoking? Because apparently you're blinded to everything, and I want some because it's going to make my life that much easier, because then I can just be retarded and sit at home and not worry about shit.
Yeah. Dude, this Fetterman is going to be fun. Do you think they're just going to squirrel him away and not let him be seen?
Yeah, I would
think
I mean,
yeah, I think so, because he ran his campaign no different than Biden did. You know what I mean? He barely come out, and when he would, I mean, people would pan. I mean, it was just small high school gymnasiums that he was speaking at, and
his wife's a quarter like a scandal, of it, right?
Yeah, big time. And she's another peach all in of herself. Oh, we have this mansion and we wanted to open our pool for inner city kids to come, and but somehow that was racist to own a pool, and even though we bought this house for $1, and
like, I mean, oh, history goes to show he does not like black teenagers.
No, and he could not even apologize, even in the run up, like when they were picking, there was this, there was a black guy running as well. Now, I'm not a Democrat, but he was bringing up decent points and very, very knowledgeable in these debates. And he pointed out, you know, you're going to apologize. You're going to apologize, kind of like Oz did. Wouldn't apologize, won't apologize. And you looked at the three of them that were up there for the Democrats, and it was like, okay, the guy in the middle's Fetterman. The guy to Fetterman's right, he's not much brighter, but this guy on Fetterman's left, dude, he's spitting some fire. Why did he not get the nomination? That's beyond me. No, just goes to
figure. I think they want to run these dead bodies.
Yes.
They want them up and they want them in there. They want to squirrel these politicians away. You know, it's what they've done with Biden for the last 2 years, three years. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm out of it, or it seems like he's been extra quiet lately.
Yeah,
I'm out of it, but he has been quiet.
But he did try asking a turkey if he wanted to say anything when it was parked. So there is that.
Yeah.
And they happen to name the turkeys Chocolate and Chip, because chocolate ice cream is his favorite.
Chocolate chip.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I think they should run Ozzy Osbourne. Or maybe he could be, maybe they do the Biden Fetterman ticket with Ozzy as press secretary.
I was just going to say that, press secretary.
Yeah. Luke Redkowski already has out the Biden Fetterman 24 shirts.
Ooh. Yeah.
You can get them. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So
I just, I don't know. I don't really have much faith in the people that vote in this country and the direction that they want to take this country, but in a bigger picture, this country and the world, because it's all part of one big machine. And, you know, Biden just said at the G20, hey, I think we should do vaccine passports, and I'm for lockdowns again. And that was taking advice from Bill Clinton and Klaus Schwab, who attended the G20.
Yeah.
Two that were not leaders of the world. Why right. were they there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't trust people that vote, but I don't trust people that count those votes either.
No.
Yeah, you know, it's multi-layered to why I don't have a very optimistic view of where particularly big stage politics is moving.
I mean, take Arizona. I mean, that's been a red state for decades, and now all of a sudden it's going really blue. No, get out. Maricopa County right out the gate was having, oh, well, just put it in drawer three. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't tell me. We're sitting here watching this, and if we say, oh, the election's rigged, they're stealing it, they're tampering with shit, we're the crazy ones, we're the terrorists. No, get out of here with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's why my YouTube channel finally got taken down, because I questioned that stuff.
Well, I'm gonna see if my YouTube gets its first ding, because I uploaded the video version of the JFK episode. So
cool. Oh, nice.
Yeah. You're toast. That's awesome. Congratulations.
The thing that sucks about getting the first strike is then that like alerts the algorithm, and then they start going through your shit. I hadn't put anything on my YouTube for months, and I went to try to, I watch YouTube all the time to learn how to like fix my farm, you know, and I go to like log into my YouTube, and it was gone, and I hadn't put anything up for a long time, maybe more than 2 months. I had a strike. I had a strike the last time that I put something up. I had one strike that hadn't come down yet, and then it went back and found stuff and kicked me off. No explanation. So,
well, luckily, I mean, so far I've been pretty okay with the Patreon because they started allowing you to upload video as well. And yeah, I've been doing it there, which so far so good. They've never dinged an episode, you know, this and that, you know, it's still a third party platform, but yeah, I was like, well, I'm gonna test the waters, you know, what do I have to lose?
Yeah. Nothing. If you test it, let's see if you let me come on with you, if Corey Hughes comes on next time to do the 6 million episode, test that out on Patreon. I know what YouTube will do. I know what Rockfin would do to it.
Oh yeah. Fuck Rockfin.
Yeah. Rockfin, that's, they won't want you to talk about it on Rockfin.
6 million. Yeah. It's crossing the line for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's such a free speech platform. Guys, come on. Come on to Rockfin. I don't trust any of them. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to get too deep. I'm not going to name names, but I don't trust certain people that promote it as well.
Yeah, sure. They're a comedy director.
Yeah.
Yeah. On that note, let's get out of here.
Sure. All right.
Ghost, this was a ton of fun. I think we have a good rapport and that we could do a bunch more shows together. And
yeah, we can. Absolutely.
You should have us on the tavern sometime. We'd love to come on.
Hey.
I know you used to send me emails for every one of them, and I never made it, so I understand why I don't get them anymore.
Well, no, I had to revamp. It wasn't that. I would just send out a mass email to everybody that had already been on or whatever.
On it.
Yes, and it got totally... It was fun, but it was out of control fun. And now I reeled it back in. Ryan's been with me since day one. I'm trying to help Kyle from the Big Dumb Podcast. Not that my platform's any bigger than his. It's just people do like the tavern. I reached out. I said, hey, would you like to be a weekly regular, you know, to get your name back out there? Because he was struggling ever since when he came back from his honeymoon and what have you. And there were some certain things going on in you know, podcast world drama. And he kind of, his show took a little bit of a hit. So I brought him on. We call him the bus boy or the dishwasher. Might move him up to the bartender here soon. But this Friday, I mean,
bar back next or something.
Yeah,
got to step in between.
Yeah. But so I limit it to, okay, I got two regulars myself, and then I usually try to reach out to two or three, you know, other guests. And
yeah,
you know, this week we didn't do it just because of Thanksgiving. I was like, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. People want to spend time with their family. No, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to be around to do it. So, but you know, if you guys are free this Friday or any other Friday, you know, feel free, hit me up, and you know, invite's always open. I love having you guys on. I always enjoy chatting with you guys. So,
Brad, yeah, I'll look at the calendar. And I'll let you know the next Friday we're free, and we'll set it up.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a good one. Tell everybody everything again, where you're at.
You can find my podcast anywhere you get a podcast. You can find me on YouTube. We're going to test out the waters, you know, here this week with, you know, the latest episode that I did on JFK with Corey Hughes.
Yeah, guys, go listen to that episode. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a banger. So other than that, patreon.com/mythirdeyepodcast. You get all the full versions. I have a $3 and $5 tier. I'm not charging much. I mean, heck, you know, it just helps a little bit, you know, with the, I was able to use some of that money and just recently purchased a new laptop with Windows 11 instead of running Windows 8. So thank you to my Patreons for that. Nice. Other than that, you know, you can find me on Instagram, My Third Eye Podcast, and yeah, hit me up. You guys want to mingle and come on the show? You know, I'm always down to chat about whatever. So that's basically where you can find me, and mythirdeyepod@gmail.com if you want to throw me an email.
Perfect.
Fantastic, man. Thanks a ton, dude.
Yeah, Brad, yes, thank you.
And I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. Let's talk soon, man.
Will do. You guys enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend and
right on. Yeah.
Later, guys.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass. Delay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.